This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, I have a local-ish story first to get to. Hakeem Butler. Hakeem Butler, Michael. The UFL Offensive Player of the Year. What does that mean to you? Does that mean a lot? Is that something that excites you?
It means he's the best of an inferior league, and maybe he can back up somebody on the practice squad.
Well, he's going to be backing somebody up on the practice squad for your Denver Broncos then.
Because
the Broncos just signed him. He had 29 catches for a UFL best, 641 yards this season with the St. Louis Battlehawks. His 22.1 yards per reception and 71.2 yards per game. Also the league. He is he won the UFL Offensive Player of the Year in 2024. And he's a 6'5", 242 pounds.
How many UFL games are there?
I don't know. I don't know. He's bounced around several rosters, several practice squads. He played in two games with the Philadelphia Eagles in 2020. Or he appeared in two games. Over the next several seasons, he joined the XFL in 2023, turned that into an opportunity with the Steelers, but then he got placed on IR and was waived. His 2024 UFL performance helped him get a training camp shot with the Bengals, but he was cut ahead of the season. It's a camp. You know, camp, quarterbacks say camp arm, camp hands, maybe.
Yeah, he's going to really have to impress. He can... What, 29 receptions in 10 games? Assuming he wasn't injured?
I mean, it's the UFL. It's probably just some decent players, and they shine a little bit, and then they get a shot on a practice squad. I'm seeing so many different people like, whoa, the Broncos got this guy. Now, listen, I'd love to be wrong here, and this is a story, but based on his recent past, he's probably going to get to camp. And maybe that's it. Maybe get to see him in some preseason games, and we get excited about that. But who knows? The UFC was at the White House last night, Michael. And Dana White said, hey, it was a success. Loved it. It was good. But he said, we're probably never going to do this again. He said, I can't afford it. I'll never do the Sphere again, and we'll never do this again. So it wasn't really meant as a slight or anything like that, but it was a one-time thing. It's a one-time thing. Do you have a problem with the White House having a sporting event on its lawn?
I have heard that it is not legal for that to happen. I don't know too much about the situation. If it's not legal, then I have a problem with it. If it's, well... How many taxpayer dollars?
Who did you hear that it's not legal? Now, I'm not saying you're wrong. I haven't heard this anywhere. Where did you hear this?
God, I don't remember. I'd have to look back and see, but I have heard, and I cannot confirm that it was illegal. If it's not a legal move, I have a problem with it. If the taxpayers paid a lot of money for this, I have a problem with it. But if it was just UFC and it's not an illegal thing, then I'm all for whatever.
Yeah,
businesses make money.
Yeah, And Justin Gaethje was involved, and he fought. I did not watch, Mike. I'm not a UFC guy. Texter from the 970 says, I'm not a huge UFC guy, but a friend pointed out that Justin Gaethje, a UNC Bears wrestler, competed on the White House lawn and had an upset in the fourth round. Once a bear, always a bear. He wrestled from 2007 to 2011. Yeah, I'm all for local stories like that, and good for Justin Gaethje. I think he was a pretty big underdog in his fight, too. Yes, Michael.
So apparently a federal judge basically made it legal, rejecting a last-minute lawsuit seeking to block the highly controversial UFC 250 matches.
I don't know why it would be illegal. I mean, I don't know. It was hearing a lot of people that were reporters that were at that event said it was actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't know why it would be illegal. My problem with it, again, would be the taxpayers are on the hook for how much? And it is the White House, and that's a very secure place.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew about it, knew of it, but I wasn't necessarily going to be either way on this. Like, if it's all well within the rules and stuff, then sure, why not? Not really my thing. First advance text line is 888-530-0043. So Monday, today, Michael, this morning, the Big 12 is going down the legal path. They are officially going down it to potentially sanction Texas Tech over its intention to play quarterback Brendan Sorsby. A 47-page complaint against Texas Tech and the Texas Attorney General. Also, Texas Tech's chancellor, school president who thinks that we should change the rules because gambling is so easy to do now. Yeah, that's the way to do things. So dumb. So they're seeking a declaratory judgment and a preliminary injunction to enable it to enforce its bylaws. What are those bylaws? I don't know. Are they going to fine them? Going to fine Texas Tech? Are they going to not play them this year? So according to Yahoo Sports and Ross Dellinger, and if there's anyone you want to learn more about on this kind of stuff, the legal stuff, the business side of college sports, it's Ross Dellinger. The league is not seeking damages in the filing, is not challenging a state court ruling deeming Sorsby eligible, but is instead asking a federal judge to permit it to take action against the Red Raiders in light of legal threats made from the Texas Attorney General last week, whose letter to the league last week might have triggered this to happen today. The letter from Paxton's office, again, Ken Paxton is the Attorney General of Texas. The letter from Paxton's office demanded that the league refrain from exercising its governance authority, characterizing any sanctions as antitrust violation and threatening joint liability against the conference. Talking a little bit about collusion and all that, I'm guessing. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I don't like the Texas Attorney General.
No.
I don't like him to do something proactive like this unless
it's
him explaining the law. But this doesn't sound like him explaining the law.
This is basically
like him explaining the law and being, pro Texas.
And you already know you're doing something wrong, so you're trying to get out ahead of it and say, hey, yeah, we know people are probably going to come after Texas Tech for this. Just warning you, don't. This is wild. The Big 12 presidents and chancellors are scheduled to meet later today, though a decision on sanctions is not necessarily expected. If a vote were to occur, however, the complaint says, some of the potential sanctions the board could consider under the bylaws include monetary sanctions and or a ban on competing in the Big 12 championship game. That's one way to get them. I mean, they're fighting pretty hard for Sorsby for so many reasons. 27 touchdowns last season doesn't hurt. They might actually have a shot to go to the Big 12 championship, Michael. They're pretty damn good. Weren't they in it last year? Yeah. Didn't Texas Tech win it?
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I looked up the AG. He has education at Baylor University and University of Virginia School of Law. So there's no, he was with Texas Tech.
No, but he's with Texas, right? He's Texas.
Well, we all know that Texas is very, we're Texas and everybody else is not us.
Yeah, yeah. This is wild. The Big 12 writes this in a filing. In an industry that rarely agrees on anything, there is finally an issue that everyone seems to agree on other than Texas Tech and the Attorney General. Universities should not field players who have bet on their own team's games in athletics, in college athletics.
But he has a mental health issue.
Then help him out in other ways. Don't let him be around the sport that caused this mental health issue. The league is asking a federal judge to grant an injunction to allow it to exercise its First Amendment rights to invoke its authority under its bylaws. Dismiss Paxton's claims that any sanction is an antitrust violation and grant it the right to penalize a member school for violating the Dormant Commerce Clause, which prevents state governments from enacting laws that impact competition or commence across a variety of states. Whew! So Ross Dellinger also writes this on his X account. Big 12's legal threat puts Brendan Sorsby in a dilemma. Continue on this path, possibly subjecting Tech to a sanction protected by federal injunction, or apply for the NFL supplemental draft. Deadline is next Monday. However, there's a twist, according to Ross Dellinger. Sorsby may not have access to the draft. Is that an NFL thing? He may not have access to the draft because the NFL says no?
I certainly hope they do.
Oh, man. If anybody thought this was over, we were probably all crazy. Because we knew the Big 12 was going to step up. I did my whole minute on it last week. The Big 12 has a chance to try to fix the worst, I think the worst thing that's happening in sports. And again, say miss me with the whole Brady, there are people doing worse things in college sports. There are people doing worse things out and breaking the law. Yes, if you break the law, Michael, if you break the law, you get in trouble with the law, right?
Unless you're... The law is a little corrupt.
Correct.
And that
can happen.
Like, oh, go ahead, drink.
But I'm telling you, man, nothing that an individual does. You know, like we got, help me out, the former Michigan coach. He got into some weird stuff, right?
Yeah, Harbaugh.
No. The other coach.
Well, they both did.
The one that was with the girl that was working
one,
with him.
The one who did things more inappropriate around women and then the one who just cheated.
And guess what happened to that guy? Guess what happened to both those guys? They're gone.
They got punished.
Harbaugh cannot come back to college sports. Well, 10 plus years. The other coach that I'm blanking out on his name right now, the Michigan coach, former Michigan coach, is done. He's not going to be in college sports again. So when you bring these things up, like, well, this guy did this, and what about this? Well, if you get in trouble, you get in trouble. And that's an individual thing. If you allow a player to gamble and play still, then that opens the door wide open for anyone to do so. 12:18 the time. Let's see what Mark Johnson has to say on the subject, because this is heating up quickly, and the conference that he's a broadcaster for is starting to step up, and they're saying, no, we're not going to allow this. We'll catch up with Mark coming up next.
David and KFKA for your chance to win Stampede concert and rodeo tickets, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, our voice of reason on all things college sports. All right, Mark. It just keeps going. We had Texas's Attorney General Ken Paxton send a letter to the Big 12 saying, hey, if you're thinking of doing anything, don't. And the Big 12 said, oh, that's exactly what we're thinking of doing. they're going down this legal path to potentially sanction Texas Tech over its intention to play quarterback Brendan Sorsby. Here we go, Mark.
Here's the interesting thing about this. You know, there are times when you need to be principled and you need to put your stake in the ground, right? And there are times I appreciate that. We've seen many, you know, civil rights issues over the course of time or governmental overreach, whatever it might be, that you want to really build your foundation on. But I am stunned that Texas Tech University wants, and apparently the AG in Texas wants, to put their stake in the ground based upon somebody gambling on their own sport. I don't understand the vitriol, right? I should say I understand the vitriol coming from outside. I don't understand the commitment inside as to why this is where you want to try and stand, right? If you want, generally, if you want to make a stand, you want to do it on something righteous, something real, something right, something true. And what they're doing is putting their pole in the ground and saying, no, we're standing on the one cardinal sin in all of sports that you should never commit, which is betting on your own team. It really is fascinating to watch. At this point, I'm thinking to myself, why doesn't Cody Campbell just write the kid his $5.5 million check? He's a billionaire anyway. Just hand him the check and say, son, there's your money. Thank you. Goodbye. And just get this thing over with. I'm kind of stunned it's going this far.
I am too. I mean, Texas Tech, are you? I don't know if you watched. Did you watch the roundtable that they had with the AD, coach, president? All, did you watch any of that last week, Mark?
I saw the highlights.
Oh,
yes,
my goodness.
I didn't watch it. Just sit down and watch the entire 8 or 9 or 10 minute piece, whatever it was. I didn't watch the whole thing from start to finish. I just saw the highlights.
I mean, the biggest highlight for me was Texas Tech's president saying, you know, maybe we need to change the rules because now kids have. They have gambling apps at their phones and at their fingertips now. Maybe we should change the rules. They've either completely lost their minds, Mark, or they just really believe in Brendan Sorsby. They really want those 27 touchdowns from last year.
Do you remember what was the Jim Carrey movie, Liar, Liar?
Yeah.
You remember that movie years ago?
Yeah.
Where at one point he's a lawyer, and for whatever reason he made a spell or something on him, so he had to tell the truth. And at one point he picks the phone up. This guy that was a consistent client of him as a lawyer, and he screams, stop breaking the law, you a-hole, right?
Yes, yeah.
And right, a very honest moment. It really, when I hear somebody who was supposed to be in a leadership position, which a president of a major institution is supposed to be, and saying maybe we should change the rule because somebody broke the rules. And by the way, if I could stand on my stump here for a little moment longer, not only how that is insane, but have you noticed this, that all of a sudden what we've done, everybody in the world knows you're not supposed to bet. The kid bet on it, and he's claiming mental health because if he doesn't get to play, then every criminal in America. You kill somebody just so you can't put me in jail, I'm going to feel bad about myself. I mean, how insane is this? We've actually, mental health is a serious issue where it's legitimate. Now it's being used as a defense. Well, you can't tell me I can't play because they can make me feel bad, even though I broke the rules. So none of this makes sense. It's all based upon gobbledygook and garbage and pretend and make-believe and on and on and on. And that's why this thing's so hard to stomach right now.
Well, I mean, it's just, I saw Ross Dellinger's tweet that, you know, this legal threat by the Big 12 put Sorsby, what do you say, puts him in a dilemma. Does he continue down this path and subject Texas Tech to a sanction, or does he apply for the NFL supplemental draft, which that might be out the window too, Mark? Does Texas Tech Sorsby, like you said, give him money and just move on? Do either parties really want to go through with this? Because this is a lot bigger than, you know, just being able to play one final season.
Well, at this point, okay, what are we talking about in college athletics or in athletics in general, right? It's team. You're sacrificing for your teammates. Well, what is he doing? He's saying, no, I'm most important. This is all about me. I will take a program down and an institution down because I want this, right? So it's the entire antithesis of what athletics is supposed to be about. Now, we know that we're all selfish by nature. We all understand that. But, I mean, just the fact that he's standing on this, which is why, like I said, there is an out here, and nobody seems to want to take it. And it is, give them the check, get them out of there, and, you know, Cody Campbell's got $5.5 million dropping out of his bag, the hole in his pocket, for goodness sakes, and so he could take care of this issue in a second. I don't know why cooler heads haven't prevailed here, and they take that out, because there just seems to be no ground to stand on, and it's a singular issue, a selfish issue, and it's damaging college athletics, and it's damaging Texas Tech and everything else, and so it's stunning. But we don't win, but you can never underestimate pettiness in a human being, because that's where we're at right now.
Mark, potentially, what can the Big 12 do? You and I talked a little bit last week about, you know, collusion, and if the teams come together and say, we're simply not going to play you got to be careful of that. But as a conference, can you say, hey, we won't necessarily go that route, but we could say, hey, you're not going to be in, no matter how good your season is, you won't be in the Big 12 championship game. What could they potentially do here?
Well, I think there's all sorts of options there. The problem becomes, Brady, is that it's a litigious society we live in, right? The answer to everything is sue somebody, whether you're right, wrong, or not. And so I think, you know, the league should be able to police itself, just like the NCAA should be able, in theory, to police itself. The NFL can, Major League Baseball can, the NHL and NBA certainly do, so they should be able to as well. So there should be some autonomousness, if you will, for the Big 12, where they should be able to police their own organization. The problem is they have no legal leg to stand on, which is why they want the antitrust, or at least a partial antitrust exemption, so that they're able to have some weight and some teeth behind what they do legally. But right now, as we're learning the last two or three years in the NCAA, no matter what they want to do, they're going to get sold, or sued, rather, and their batting average right now is not very good in court. And so That's an interesting legal question for people smarter than you and I am to determine legally what they're able to do and how far they're able to take this. But right now, college athletics needs good PR. We don't have much right now. I'm here in Centerville, Ohio right now, and I was just at an event where I got talking with some people who are Ohio State fans. We got talking about college athletics. And these fans, these longtime fans, were saying that, you know, we love the games, but the sport is killing us, and it's just chipping away at our fandom. And so this sport needs positive PR right now, and all we're getting is more of this nonsense, you know, and this Brandon Sorsby deal and everything else that's happening legally in college athletics.
It's funny, Mark, you mentioned, hey, the conferences should be able to police themselves. This is one of the things that I actually, until this situation, that I've had an issue with in college sports, is the fact that, you know, conferences can just break away, create their own thing. The Mountain West, Pac-12, that whole thing, being able to basically just go to court against each other. Those were things that drove me crazy, and this is when I'm like, I'm being a little hypocritical here, because I'm suddenly saying, you know what? Conferences do have all the power. So now's the chance for one of these conferences to use that power and hope maybe fix what we all agree seems to be the worst issue surrounding college sports would be this one. And this would have been way down there, because they'd handle everything. So, you know, if you gamble in sports, you got in trouble, whatever. But this takes the cake. So now here's this opportunity for a powerful conference to do something powerful.
Well, one of the issues we've got in college athletics is it's the old line about too many cooks in the kitchen, right? And so right now, one of the basis and I think baseline issues in college athletics is every conference is looking out for itself. The SEC is taking care of itself. The Big Ten is taking care of itself. Now, because of the power of those two, the ACC and the Big 12 are trying to come together a little bit, use some of their leverage collectively against them. But at some point, this is going to have to come down to a collective where everyone kind of comes together and is all rowing in the same direction so that they can have some sort of uniformity. And in order for that to happen, people, meaning conferences, are going to have to give up a little here and a little there for the collective good, because they all need each other. And so we'll see if the wisdom will prevail over the selfishness, which I'm not sure it's going to immediately anyway. And when they get to that point, they're going to be able to make some sort of unifying agreement out there and have some unifying policing, which they don't have right now. And so, listen, this is like, you know, it's like looking at two street gangs and trying to pick out who the good guys are, right? I mean, it's a bunch of groups and people who have held themselves up, I think, in a certain way, yet conducted themselves in another way that's not very ethical in some respects and not easy to cheer for. And now we're trying to figure out who the good guy in this whole thing is, and nobody really is. but we were hoping that for the good of the overall game, they could eventually get there. Because what we're doing right now, it's so disappointing, number one. It's damaging, number two. And if they're not careful here, they're going to kill the golden goose.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Texas Tech, are you really prepared to go through this long, grueling battle here for this player and go down in history, terrible history, for being the school that first allowed this to happen?
And Brady, we're not talking about Andrew Luck here. We're not talking about Peyton Manning or John Elway. This kid I thought was a decent quarterback at Cincinnati. I mean, I thought he was fine. And the fact that he became the number one quarterback in the portal, that's a very subjective thing. But the fact that they're willing, I'm not even sure he's a first-day draft guy. He might not be a first two-day draft guy. But somehow, this guy's become the linchpin and kind of the lightning rod of this entire thing. And it really is an amazing, perplexing issue we've got here right now. And I think in a couple of years, we're going to look back and go, really? That was the guy that they kind of circled the wagons around. It really is a stunning issue we've gotten here going here right now in college athletics.
And Mark, he might actually go down as the guy that helped fix college sports because everyone came together to fix this, and it's like, wow, we came together to fix that. What can't we do? Now we can fix other things.
And that's the thing. I do think, and I think I said this to you last week, is when I was with Coach Prime and Athletic Director Fernando Lovo on the plane on Monday, when this thing whole broke, we were talking about it, and that seemed to be the consensus, that now we've got an issue that everybody except those inside Lubbock, Texas, can seem to circle around and agree upon. And so it may be the thing that does this, but I'm really stunned at how they've dug their heels in down in Lubbock, and this
too.
Is what they're going to die upon. You know, it's not the hill to die upon. It certainly is not, but apparently they believe it is.
It's a wild story, and it just keeps getting more wild literally every day, maybe even every hour. Mark, this is one of those stories, my friend. Always love the insight from you and your thoughts on these matters. And like we say every week, something new will pop up by next Monday, Mark, so we'll look forward to that conversation.
All right, Bart, we'll see you. Bye.
All right, man. Ross Dellinger also posted this. Mike, here's the supplemental draft story. Here's the issue with the supplemental draft. This is why this story cannot stop. The supplemental draft is reserved for players who are not eligible to play in college. For now, Sorsby is technically, he is eligible to play because of the Texas State ruling. If he applies, he may need an exception from the NFL. And Ross Dellinger writes, an unprecedented situation grows more fascinating. So he couldn't get into the supplemental draft because he's eligible. If he wants to bow out and say, you know what, I'm screwing over everybody. Because, Mike, he was going to sue the NCAA. What makes you think he wouldn't try to sue Texas Tech if they say, we're not going to allow it, man. We're not going to allow it.
I think half of that press conference they had last week, Texas Tech, was, please don't sue us. And the other was, we have to save face.
There's a lot of the, kind of thing going on with Texas Tech. Whatever that 20-minute roundtable was with the AD and the president and the coach and all that stuff, I watched the whole thing. And it was so disappointing that people of that, I'm a sports guy. So people like, you get to be an athletic director, you get to be a head coach at that level. Like, I admire you, the ladder you climbed to get there. And for the reasoning that I heard coming out of their mouths, I mean, that's about as political as you can get right there.
Yeah, this whole Sorsby thing, it's going to backfire so badly because you have enough schools pissed off about it. You're going to be playing two Big Sky schools and Savannah State at worst case scenarios, they don't no longer have a football team. But you're not going to be playing strong enough teams. Like, Montana will be happy to take them the money.
I think they're going to play them. I thought about this more because you and I spent a lot of time on should the Big 12 come together and not schedule them. You know, again, would that be collusion, all that stuff? Here's the thing. Make it so they can't compete in the Big 12 championship. But, Mike, the amount of eyeballs that are going to be on any Texas Tech game, I don't know if you're going to want to turn that away.
I mean, the boos that are going to come down are going to be louder than ever. It could be Texas and Texas A&M, two big rivals. That crowd, that stadium is going to be silent if compared to what is going to happen with Texas Tech all year.
Right. Texter from the 970, if the NFL doesn't decide to not draft, if the NFL to not draft Sorsby, he should be drafted by the Browns or Jets, where quarterbacks go to die. Here's the thing. According to Dellinger, as of today, if he's eligible, the supplemental draft doesn't apply to him. Is the NFL really going to be willing to make an exception for him? They don't want gambling going on in their sport. You got a guy that's gambled $90,000 and admitted to betting 40 times, up to 40 times on his own team. You think the NFL really wants that? Do you think they want to mess with that?
No. I mean, they've already suspended players from multiple teams one full year for gambling on the NFL on NFL sites. You know what? He's not going to the NFL. He could be the best quarterback of all time.
Maybe not.
He might go to the NFL, but he ain't going number one overall.
Well, no, he's not that good. I mean, he's good, Mike, but he's not like number one overall.
He's Cincinnati good.
Faith texting and Texas Tech is failing at all. All college athletes everywhere. Athletes can get punished for something as small as being late to practice or workouts, but this guy is getting the opportunity to play, and he broke the cardinal sin of college sports. Do you remember when they used to get in trouble for, like, putting stuff that they didn't pay for on a bagel or something like that? Like, it was crazy stories back in the day.
Those were back in the olden days when the NCAA was completely full of stuck-up morons. We have to find a happy medium where this can't happen and you don't go back to the days where you're counting everyone's calories.
This is where we started.
You got these calories wrong.
This is where we started. The NCAA had all the power, and they shut everything out. Players couldn't make any money. You can't transfer. If you do, you have to sit out a year. They tightened everything, except for the things that made them money. So, like, conference realignment was still okay, because that made money, right? Conferences got richer by making some of those decisions. So the NCAA is kind of like, okay, yeah, you can do that. But when it came to transfer portal, whatever, NIL, all that stuff, that didn't do the NCAA or its teams any good. In fact, it hurt them. So they fought hard against that. And now the complete opposite is happening. Everything they fought so hard against has blown up in their face, including this one. And this is just maybe the final straw here. This is that big one that they've tried to hold on tightly to, the regulations. And it's blowing up in their face, just like everything else has. But this is the one we all agree on. All the other stuff, Michael, NIL, I said for years, I think college players should be paid. And I caveat that. I think players should be allowed to earn. I never really was in on this idea that the colleges are cutting checks. I thought if Johnny Manziel wants to sign his autograph and sell it to someone, he should be able to do that. If Jeremy Bloom is an Olympic skier and he also plays for the Buffaloes, he should be able to make endorsement money from what he did skiing-wise. If you put a player's face on a video game and you use their likeness and you get their approval, you should cut them a check. Those are the things I thought were good. But the NCAA said no to all of that for so long, and now the worst-case scenario has happened.
Yeah, the pendulum swung so hard, it put a big cut on the NCAA.
Yes.
Like it just damaged them.
And
it's like turning your neck so fast you pull a muscle in your neck.
It's their fault because they knew these issues were coming up. They kicked the proverbial can down the road. They didn't want to deal with it. They fought it. Finally, attorneys got involved with, you know, Jeremy Bloom was a big part of this. But the NCAA video game was really one of the big eye openers in all of this. To where, wait a second, you're using their name, image, and likeness. You're making a profit from it, both EA Sports and the NCAA, and you put Tim Tebow's face on the cover. Where does that make sense? He should be able to get a check for that.
No, but they get free schooling.
Jake, the geologist guy, texted in, this Soresby situation is the kind of thing that makes you want to turn off your TV and just not watch. And that's the thing. Mark just said it. He had somebody in Ohio tell him, I love the game. Or, wait, did he say, I love the sport of it, but the game of this is making me really struggle. And that is happening right now. The Soresby thing should not be allowed. If they cannot get this fixed, if the Big 12 loses in this somehow to Texas Tech, then you're in for a world of hurt. And this is not going to get any better anytime soon. 12:42 the time, Michael. We got to jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash. We got more texts coming in. I'll get to those on the other side. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Well, 47 the time. I've been telling you guys about the Fort Collins Foxes. They got some more home games coming up. They played the Greeley Grays last week, the Denver Diamond Club, the Casper Spuds. And now tonight they have the Liberal BJs coming up. The names, man. The names. They're great.
What was that last one?
The Liberal BJs. B-E-E.
Who did they vote for?
B-E-E-J-J-A-Y-S. The names, man. The names. But you got to go check this out because these are great baseball teams. Fun baseball teams. It's a collegiate summer baseball team, the Fort Collins Foxes. Players get come from all over the world to Fort Collins to spend their summer. These are all conference players, and it's several Division I all-conference players playing for the Fort Collins Foxes. And they got a few local guys, too.
All right, so Liberal is a city in Kansas.
Yes. So they're coming here.
Yes.
Why? Oh, because you did the political thing.
Yeah, I was like, what? Where is that coming from? Are they a little progressive?
No. It's Liberal Kansas.
Wish it was literal.
Faith says, did you say Spuds? Yeah, the Casper Spuds. That's who they played last weekend. The names are the best. The names are the best.
I would like them to play the Wheat Ridge Farmers. I think that's what Wheat Ridge is. And
dude,
the Brush Beat Diggers.
This kind of baseball is so much fun because, again, the names are great. They got Colorado Lumberjacks, Slammers North, Slammers South, Denver Generals, Hayes Larks, Boulder 64s, Game Day Angels, some good El Paso Miracles.
When do they play the LA Extreme? Spelled with an X.
They do not.
Well, that was an XFL.
Oh, okay.
They won the championship the first and only year.
Jake the geologist guy. Yeah, that's why I spelled it out. Just spell that one out.
Yeah, I don't know why.
The Buzz Jays.
I can understand Jayhawks, but I don't know what BJs means.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't ask anybody that. 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. We've got a clip of the day coming up. Handshakes. You good with no handshakes or handshakes after a competition? More on Davis Webb, too. And then Nuggets. How am I feeling about this team here on June 15th after the NBA season is officially over? We'll get to all that and more coming up next.
Should be a busy offseason for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. What needs to change? Follow along with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up next, Mike, we'll get to the clip of the day. Some thoughts on Davis Webb. As he's been making the rounds, man. He's getting interviewed almost as much as Sean Payton. Why is Davis Webb already a star? And where will the Nuggets go from here after seeing the Knicks take care of the Spurs? Spurs aren't going anywhere, guys. Spurs are going to be right back there. Maybe. Clip of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.